This is an iHeart podcast. Guaranteed human.
Hi guys, Nancy Grace here. And right now, I want to introduce you to a podcast you're going to love. Mayhem in the Morgue with our friend and colleague, Dr. Kendall Crowns, Chief Medical Examiner, Tarrant County, that's Fort Worth, Texas. Never a lack of business in that morgue. He is the esteemed lecturer in the Burnett School of Medicine at TCU with literally thousands of death investigations under his belt. He has spent a career reading silent evidence left on the body from blunt force trauma to the smallest trace that points investigators in the right direction. Crowns explains how the morgue holds answers to crimes no one else can decipher. Follow Mayhem in the Morgue. You can find it wherever you get your podcasts. And now, here is our friend, Dr. Kendall Crowns.
Welcome to Mayhem in the Morgue with your host, Dr. Kendall Crowns.
So today's episode is first day. So everybody has first days, right? We all have a first day of work, first day of school, et cetera, et cetera. So today I'm going to talk about one of my first days in my career. So I was on my last rotation in medical school. I was 1 month away from graduating. And the rotation I had chosen to take was in forensic pathology, which was what I wanted to do as a career. And I arrived at the medical examiner's office, walked through the front doors, and I was met by the entire staff, the medical examiners, the death investigators, the clerks, everybody. They gave me a little cubicle in the death investigator's office where I could put all my stuff. So I set up and I got ready for my day. About midday, a call came in and it was a possible homicide. The chief of death investigator, Bill, says to me, "Hey, let's check this one out. You're coming with me." And I was super excited. I get to go to a homicide scene on my very first day of my medical school rotation. This is super cool. So we head out and we go to this apartment complex where the death had occurred. So this rotation was in my hometown. I had grown up there, lived there for close to 28 years. So this was an apartment complex I had driven past hundreds of times over the years. Just kind of nondescript. It was on its way to an old arcade I used to go to play video games and play pool at when I was in high school and college. So we get there and the homicide detective's already been there. And they were waiting for us. They were waiting in the dead guy's kitchen. And so when we walk in, they're sitting in the kitchen and they've made sandwiches from the dead guy's refrigerator. And they're sitting there eating them. And they said to Bill, they go, "Hey, Bill, this isn't a homicide. This is some stupid pervert. Go check him out." And so we head on down the hallway to the dead guy's room. And when we get in there, there's porn all over the bed. Now, this is the days before the internet, so it's paper porn. Nothing on the computer, no cell phones back then, just paper porn. Dead guy's in his closet and he's hanged. So at this point, I had read about hangings before this day. Hangings are usually, you know, guy hanging from a ceiling. He can be suspended. He can be sitting down. It can be a number of things. But he's just kind of hanged. But this one was different. So how is it different? So he's hanged with a white nylon rope. It's about his neck, tied with a hangman's noose with 13 coils. But then he's also completely naked. He has clothespins on his nipples and a wiffle ball bat jammed up his butt. He's leaning against this large blue plastic barrel. Also, the rope itself had an intricate mechanism associated with it. The rope went up to the ceiling through an eyelet, then over a beam, that then went to another eyelet that was attached to the wall, that then attached to the side of the barrel that he was sitting against. The piece attached to the barrel had kind of an intricate fail-safe mechanism or a tripwire mechanism that was attached to the side of the barrel. So essentially, it was an escape mechanism. One thing to note also is the beam itself had multiple grooves on it from the rope, so he had done this a number of times before and been successful. His failsafe mechanism was if he passed out, he'd fall off the barrel. It would trip the failsafe and cause the rope to become loose and completely fall off, causing the tension to be released from the dead guy's neck, and his blood flow and his oxygen would be restored and he wouldn't die. But on this day, instead of falling off the barrel, he kind of leaned back onto the barrel, so the failsafe never fired, and he died. He didn't expect to end up dead. So I'm looking at this. I'm just overwhelmed. There's porn. There's a naked guy. There's a wiffle ball bat. There's all this stuff going on. It's just sensory overwhelming to me. Never seen anything like this before. Totally didn't understand. It's a hanging, but what's going on? So I said to Bill, what's going on, Bill? And Bill nonchalantly says to me, oh, this is just autoerotic asphyxia. At that point, I had never heard of autoerotic asphyxia before. And I just was like, autoerotic what? He goes, autoerotic asphyxia. What they're doing is they're masturbating and they hang themselves because they think the decreased oxygen to their brain will increase the pleasure. And so sometimes when they're doing it, they accidentally end up dying. So I'm standing there just kind of overwhelmed, taking this all in. I didn't even know what questions to ask at this point because this is just totally confusing. So the homicide detectives come down the hallway and they go, hey, Bill, who's the new guy? Who's the rookie? And Bill says, oh, this is Kendall Crowns. He's our medical student. He's rotating with us this month. And the detectives say, okay, have the new guy cut him down. Have the rookie cut him down. And Bill goes, hey, that's a great idea. He pulls a pocket knife out of his pocket and he hands it to me. He goes, cut him down, Kendall. And I'm like, yeah, all right, I'll do that. This is cool. I'm doing forensics, you know? So I crawl up on this barrel. I'm standing on it. Barrel's about 4 foot off the ground. I grab hold of that rope with one hand and I start cutting with my other. I am not the strongest person in the world, and there is no way, even on a good day, I could hold a 180-pound naked guy with one hand. But I'll continue. So I'm cutting, I'm cutting, I'm cutting, and I'm getting to the through this rope. I'm getting close to the end, and in my peripheral vision, I notice the homicide detectives are stepping backwards, and they're kind of laughing, and Bill's stepping backwards. He's kind of laughing. I mean, they all know what's going to happen, of course. You know what's going to happen at this point. I didn't, for whatever reason that day. I was so laser focused on this rope that I couldn't even think of what was going to happen once I got to the end. So I keep cutting and I get to the end. I cut through that rope and all of a sudden, bam, I'm holding a 180-pound naked guy with one hand on a wobbly barrel. And the 180-pound naked guy falls to the ground like a sack of potatoes and I come falling right on top of him. I land on him with my elbow right into his abdomen. So if I'm hitting him with my elbow on his abdomen, you know where the rest of me is in relation to the rest of him. So ew. But anyway, my elbow digs into his abdomen and creates pressure, and that pressure that's created forces that wiffle ball bat out of his butt and across the room. I roll off of him and I jump to my feet and I'm like, oh, I'm okay. I'm okay. No one cared if I was okay at that point because they were all too busy laughing. They were bent over laughing so hard. So once everybody calmed down, we got out a body bag and we rolled him into the body bag. And Bill said to me, yeah, you're picking that bat up, buddy. Hand me a pair of gloves, thankfully. And I walked over and I picked up that bat and I threw it in the body bag. We zipped him up. Homicide detectives left, probably tell everybody about what happened, about the stupid medical student. And we waited for body transport. Body transport showed up. They picked up the body. Bill told them the story. They all got a good laugh. Head back to the medical examiner's office. And the dead guy was later autopsied. He was found. His cause of death was hanging. Manner of death was accident. We'll go into why that is on another episode. But anyway, and then that day came to an end. So at the end of it all, I learned a very important lesson. I can't hold a 180-pound naked guy while balancing on a barrel. Never have done it again in the rest of my career. Very important lesson. I always look back on it and I always think, thank goodness the internet and cell phones weren't around back then, because if they had been, I would have been a viral sensation that probably would still be going on for the next 100 years. So that brings us to the end of the episode. I hope you learned something. Hope you were entertained. Until the next time.
This is an iHeart podcast. Guaranteed human.